Smile for me. This is Stacey McKibben with the Master Communicator Podcast, where CEOs, senior leaders, and C-suite executives share their advice. It's 6 questions in 9 minutes because the best leaders know how to share their ideas concisely and quickly. Let's jump right in. Question number 1. In a few sentences, tell me who you are and what you do.
So my name is Jennifer Fondrevet. I'm a recovering chief marketing officer who survived 3 multi-billion dollar acquisitions. That experience prompted me to write a survivor's handbook called Now What? A Survivor's Guide for Thriving Through Mergers and Acquisitions. And as a result of that, I opened up a consultancy that helps executives manage the people side of mergers and acquisitions.
I feel like you need those I Survived t-shirts, right?
Definitely. I've actually received some recommendations on what those t-shirts might say.
I could only imagine. Well, I'm excited to ask you these questions today about change. You know, we kick off right away with what's the best thing about leading people through change from your perspective?
I went through it. It's helping people get to the other side.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think as you think about that bridge, there's such a journey there, right? And yeah. I bet on the plan, it's very simple. It's we're individual and then we're together. But as you have probably experienced, there's quite a bit of a journey between those two very simple points on a very complex business plan.
Absolutely. And I went through it 3 times. I'll tell you the first one, getting through it, I never thought I would get to the other side, which is why I take great satisfaction now in helping people to get to the other side so they know there is one.
Interesting, that helplessness, I bet that feeling. So that actually leads me to question number 3, which is, you know, what piece of advice would you give to other leaders about implementing that sort of change?
2 areas, really. One is that it's an emotional journey. I think that can be forgotten because in business, particularly now, we are so data-driven. And what has come out repeatedly is that people don't always appreciate how emotional a journey it is. I think the other piece of advice is, and I learned this from my advertising and marketing days, to really engage people in change, you have to appeal to them both rationally and emotionally. What's the functional benefit? What's the emotional benefit? And I've seen time and again when a leader paints a picture, a vision that captures people emotionally, it helps them rationally figure out what their role could possibly be. But you have to paint that vision in a way that grabs them by the heart and says, this is something I want to be a part of. And that's, I feel like when leaders get that, success can happen.
I love how you say that. I mean, we know that to be true in sales, right? I mean, right. You find in all sales training, they're going to talk about this emotional versus logical need. And they're going to tell you it's an 80-20, where it's 80% emotional. And then they use their logic to rationalize the buying decision. But the beginning is it's an emotional purchase. And I can liken it very much here as you think about, you know, the team buying your change plan, you know, that first you got to sell it to them emotionally, but then they'll use their, you know, their logic to rationalize that decision.
And I think because I deal largely in mergers and acquisitions, you can't have a more data-driven decision than a merger and acquisition. Mm-hmm. And so I highlight that decision, not even judging whether it's right or wrong, but that decision, then you have to be prepared for the emotional aspect of it because a huge amount of change tends to follow after a merger and acquisition. And so that for me is why I emphasize be prepared because it's an emotional journey.
I love that. I encourage people to read the book. I love how you tied it to kind of the stages of death and dying, you know, and thinking about kind of that transformation that people go through, which, you know, kind of leads me to my next question. I often hear from other leaders that keeping teams engaged remotely, you know, especially in kind of the latest 12 months, if you will, can be a real challenge. I'm hearing managers are stressed because they can't do that drive-by check-in, right, where they just overhear things. And now they're driving their teams crazy with checking in and those, you know, kind of overcompensating. I'm curious, what are your thoughts on that right now?
Well, it's interesting because, well, two things. One, I learned from managing teams globally. When I was a chief marketing officer, I was head of B2B marketing globally. And you learn to really engage teams remotely from that standpoint. And 2 things that I learned from that I actually talk about in the book is engaging your teams personally. again, we're business driven for a reason, but more and more where I see leaders, one, opening up team meetings with a, hey, how are you? How is everyone? Mm-hmm. Right? Allowing for that chit chat, but actually being interested in the answer. I think before, you know, you'd ask, hey, how are you? And really just
the agenda
on.
Said,
right? How are you? Okay. I really actually don't care about the answer. So I highlight and really listen for the answer. I think too, as an aspect of that, and I talk about this in my book, particularly because in that respect, I'm talking about how do you get to know the other side, right? Have one-on-one conversations, pick up the phone, schedule virtual coffee talk, or even socially distanced walks. Having those one-on-one conversations where you aren't talking about business, but you're talking about just getting to know one another. What drives you? I mean, that's what's actually, I think, been some of the fascinating outcomes of the pandemic is how many people have said, I've really gotten to know my teammates. I've worked with these people for years. And then third, the point that you raised, and it's one that I find is critical, is recognizing that people are experiencing grief right now. Now, in the past, when I talked about grief, it was they were mourning the loss of their old company. But now you've got people experiencing potentially true loss. And then also they're mourning the future that won't be, the fact that everything has changed. And grief, I think, in the past has been a bit of a taboo subject. You just didn't know what to say or how to handle it. And I'm happy that I shouldn't say happy. That's the wrong word. I am encouraged that I see people talking about it more. And it is definitely one of the areas that I emphasize as someone who can help through those stages of grief because they're real.
What daily practice is most important to you as a leader?
Well, this is going to sound very cliched, breathing and getting out into nature as much as I possibly can. And breathing, it's, well, we kind of do that naturally, but I'd never really thought about it. I try and practice meditation. I fumble my way through it. But I would say in terms of really trying to clear my head, there's nothing like getting out into nature. I'm from Chicago, so it's going to get a little trickier, but it's actually been surprising to me what a difference it's made when I've gotten outside and been able to just walk and breathe and think.
Yeah, the pattern interrupt can be very powerful, especially as we're all sitting in the same place for hours on end. Yeah.
I think what I saw certainly during heights of the pandemic in the summer was more people trying to just be outside. Walking dogs, you know, obviously being mindful of distance and whatnot, but I found that really encouraging.
And I think then too, encouraging that of your team, right? You know, modeling the behavior yourself so they know it's okay to not be instantaneous responding on the Slack or the instant message, or, you know, right. I think just some of these pressures we put on ourselves to perform, you know, to make sure people know we're busy and that we're not, you know, slacking off in some way.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting that I should have mentioned this before in terms of other points that really, I think, have helped remote teams. It's having a sliding time frame. Your comment just reminded me. I mean, everybody's got different clocks right now, different time frames. Some people are caring for kids or older parents, and having that ability to just say, hey, just get the work done, do it on your time frame, I think has been enormously helpful so that people can fit in what they need to replenish and get energy.
Love that. You know, as you think about other, you know, where you're getting your resources and who is influencing you, you know, what other successful business leaders like yourself should be on the podcast, right? Who else should we be listening to?
Well, I always feel compelled. She actually helped me start my journey. Dori Clark, she's written three great books, Reinventing You, Stand Out, and Entrepreneurial You. And I think just last year, it seems like eons ago, she was one of the top 50 change management leadership gurus chosen by Thinkers 50. And she wrote the foreword to my book. She really, I would say, was the catalyst to say, you've got something of merit here, helping organizations better manage the people side of mergers and acquisitions. And she's just been such a great role model, and has helped, I'm confident, thousands of others with her books and her talks. So she's super. The other person I would highlight is, his name's Mark Steele. He just came out with a book, Invincible Success. He helps sales and leadership really walk the talk. He's very focused on servant leadership and how to be a servant leader. I have the privilege of working with him in a advanced speaking club in Chicago. So I see him, even in a volunteer position, just bring his philosophy to everything he does. And I'm always continually impressed. So I would highly recommend him as well.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jennifer, for being on the show. It's been such a delight to get your ideas and, you know, to hear kind of what's been going on in your subject matter world that's so applicable today. How can people find you if they want to reach out, learn more, or buy your book?
Well, there's multiple ways, but I'll focus them on two. One, LinkedIn, and I highlight that because I don't do a newsletter, but I do blog a lot on LinkedIn, and I've had such great responses. I love engaging with people on that platform when you're offering quality content. Mm-hmm. And the other would be my website, jenniferjfondreve.com. You'll find both all the ways that you can engage with me, as well as information on the book.
Love it. Well, I'll look forward to seeing some of your new things that are coming out in this next year, and hopefully we can have you back on the show at some point in the future. But until then, this is Stacey McKibben with the Master Communicator Podcast. For more ideas and insights, please do go check us out at www.concilioteam.com. And we look forward to seeing you again next time. Take care.